We're truly grateful for your presence today. I know that we do have some visitors with us, and we're grateful for your being here. Hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity that you have. Noah Van will be going for more chemotherapy treatment tomorrow. Actually, he and Jennifer will be traveling back and forth for 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, to Dallas. So let's continue to be praying for them in their time of need. Also want to remind you, as you have been reminded today, of Friends Day on November the 12th. I remind you that we will have services and have Bible class and services. Then we'll have a catered meal, and we'll have some entertainment by Andy and Kate's group. And then we will not have an evening service that evening. So please be looking forward to that and be inviting people to come on November the 12th. I think it'll be a very special day. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just fill the pews here with people? And certainly I know that you have friends that you can invite and that will come with you. So please do that. We look forward to that day. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. What in the world is going on? Or more specifically, what is going on in America? I know we studied in our Bible class, we're not to think about the good old days, but I miss the America in which we used to live. It seems like people are going crazy. Some NFL players are refusing to stand for the national anthem. I saw a sign last week in Hawkins at the parade and at the craft place, and it said, "Stand up for the national anthem and kneel at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ." I think that if people want to protest about racial inequalities, they need to do it in another way. If people don't like America, they can always go to another country. And that certainly is true of those athletes who are earning millions of dollars here. Let's see if they could earn that kind of money somewhere else. However, there are some positive things that are happening in our nation today. And this is a photo of Marcus Johnson of the Philadelphia Eagles. He was being baptized in a motel swimming pool on Thursday, October the 12th. Some of his teammates were supporting him. And believe it or not, this particular photo and story was in USA Today on October the 16th, and USA Today is a very, very liberal publication. I also found this photo of three roofers in Maine who were standing at attention on top of the house with their hands over their hearts when they heard a nearby high school band playing our national anthem. I believe that's the kind of patriotism that we need to see in our country today. I found the photo on the left, it speaks for itself. A disabled Marine veteran with no legs is doing his best to stand up for the national anthem. And then there was a football team in Georgia. Everyone on the football team, when they came out onto the field, carried an American flag. I also read about one farmer, and I believe it was in Nebraska. He had had a field, and he plowed in his field the letters we stand for the national anthem. We think about the crazed man who shot into a crowd of innocent people in Las Vegas, killed 58 people, and then he turned the gun on himself. He injured almost 500 people. We think about the murder rate in our nation today. It is increasing at a terrible rate. And Chicago is one of the worst cities, and yet it is a city with gun control laws. Rebels are tearing down Confederate statues and trying to rewrite history. States and cities are refusing to uphold the laws on immigration and have established sanctuary cities, which are completely against the law. College students protest when a conservative person tries to speak on their campus. And violent protests occur when people are upset about almost anything. And this is done using the misnomers of freedom and free speech. What happened to the concept that my freedom ends where another person's freedom begins? What happened to the golden rule? Treat others the same way you want them to treat you, or do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, this way of thinking and acting is not really new to the world or new to America. Think about the days of protest and rioting in the roaring 20s, even though we were not alive at that particular time. But we have read about it in history. Now, many of us do remember the 1960s, the hippie movement. And some of you may have even been hippies. I don't know. It's hard to imagine that, but you may have been. There were protests against America. There were flag burnings. Our American soldiers who were returning from fighting for our country in Vietnam were treated horribly. And ironically, many of the hippies of yesterday who protested against the establishment are part of the establishment today. So what are the liberal activists hoping to accomplish today? If they do tear down all of the Confederate statues, what is next? And believe me, that will not be where it stops. What will that accomplish? If everyone in our country gets down on a knee during the national anthem, which that is not going to happen, but if they did, what would that prove? If we let the liberal activist silence all of the conservative silent majority, will our nation become a better place? I think not. If our country keeps moving in the direction it is going today, our nation will be destroyed from within, like so many other powerful nations that have met their demise. This way of thinking and acting has been going on since the creation of mankind. And it will probably continue until Jesus comes again. Adam and Eve, the very first created human beings, rebelled against God. They sinned when they did the one thing that God commanded them not to do. Here they were living in paradise with all of the blessings that God had given to them. And he said, this one thing, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. or you will surely die. And Eve believed Satan's lie over God's word when he said, you surely will not die, Genesis 3 and verse 4. And then good old Adam. Well, he blamed the woman that God had given to him, and he also blamed the devil. But God held them accountable for their own sin, for their own rebellion, and cast them out of the Garden of Eden, out of paradise. We think about the nation of Israel. Israel was God's chosen people. But how many times did God's people rebel against him? Too many times to count. And the book of Judges is representative of the numerous times that God's chosen people turned away from him and embraced the ways of the world or the ways of Satan. And there was a cycle that his people followed. There was first a time of peace. And then there was a turning away from God and usually unto idolatry. Then there was a time of oppression. And when the people were discouraged by being oppressed, then they turned to God. And then there was a deliverance by God, and usually through a judge. And then that was followed again by a time of peace, and the cycle went on and on. We think of Israel as they ask for a king. They wanted to be like the other nations around them, even though God was their king. And reluctantly, God gave them that for which they ask. But the vast majority of the kings of Israel and Judah were wicked and led the people farther away from God, even as God had foretold that they would. Eventually, God led his people into foreign captivity, into Babylon and then Assyria, for 70 years. And after their return from captivity back to their homeland, Israel, they never again were guilty of idolatry, although they never fully returned to a complete allegiance to God. And our beloved America, as Vance stated in his prayer, was founded on biblical principles, even though there are some people who would argue that point today. It's very clear that our nation was founded on Christian principles. And regardless of the efforts of many people to rewrite our Christian heritage, our nation's laws and foundational principles were based on the Bible. Many of you can probably remember when our school days were begun with a prayer and a scripture reading. Some students even learned to read from the Bible. But now the Bible isn't even allowed in many schools. And isn't it interesting that through EEM, or Eastern European Missions, many schools in Eastern Europe are teaching their students to read from the Bible. God's word in Christ's church will prevail in this world, even if not in America. In Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 16, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." Whether it is in America, or whether it is in Eastern Europe, or wherever it is in the world, Christ's church will continue. I hope and I pray that it will be in this country, that we will continue to follow the ways of the world, or rather we will turn back from our ways of the world and turn to God. Turning away from God was often prophesied in Scripture. The Old Testament is replete with warnings from God as to what would happen to his people when they turned away from him. And there were numerous prophecies stating that they would turn away from him. There are also many warnings from God as to what will happen to people when they turn away from him today. And there are numerous prophecies stating that people will turn away from him today. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 13 and verse 14. "Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it." We want to be in the few. We want to be following that narrow way that God has designed for us. And we know that there are not very many people who are going that way. Listen to what Paul said to the first century Christians. And it's amazing how it sounds like today. "In the last days, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." The more things change, the more they remain the same. So what are we Christians to do in these perilous times? Well, I think just as was stated again in our prayer, that we're to live as shining lights in a world of darkness. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." You must fight for righteousness every day of your life, as if your life and your soul depend on it, because it does. Paul wrote again in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, and put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We are in a battle of light versus darkness, good versus evil. And we must remember that we are battling every day of our lives to bring glory to God. Another thing that we can do is pray diligently for ourselves and for all others as well. Paul wrote in Ephesians, chapter 6 and verse 18, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." We need to be diligently praying for ourselves and for one another. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, Paul wrote, "Pray without ceasing." Our whole life should be a prayerful life, a life in which we are talking to God, communicating with Him, letting Him know how we feel, and asking Him to bless us to be light in darkness. And I think, certainly most importantly, we need to be prepared for the Lord's return at any time. And we need to take as many people with us as we can to heaven. The Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with His angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power when He comes to be glorified in His saints on that day and to be marveled at among all who have believed. For our testimony to you was believed. And to this end also we pray for you always, that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. What a battle we are in. But in reality, we know who's going to win the battle. The Lord has already won the battle against Satan and against sin and against death. And as the followers of Jesus Christ, we need to be on the Lord's side. We need to recognize that we are in a fight for truth and for righteousness. And I believe that one of the ways that we can do that is by inviting our friends, our neighbors, to come and to worship with us. Whether it is November the 12th or any other time, particularly on November the 12th. I know that you have friends and you have relatives, you have others that you can invite so that they have an opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we hope that you'll do that. If there is anyone here this morning who needs to respond to the invitation of Jesus, if you need to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, or if you need to have the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ, we ask you to come while we stand and sing.